Behind the celebrity that was Donald was the business entity that was the Trump Organization, a teeny operation that catered to Donald's zealousness and preference for quick decisions. People thought we were this humongous firm with billions of people, Sprague recalled. In the New York office, there were only about 8 or 10 close executives. The rest were secretaries and accountants, and everybody did everything. Your job was to make sure that everything got done. And Donald, during his salad days in the 1980s, was trying to do just about everything. With Trump Tower freshly minted, for example, Donald decided to take on the National Football League, one of America's most firmly entrenched entertainment monopolies. The modern NFL took shape in the 1920s as player managers like George Halas scraped money together to stage games at off-season baseball fields and recruited early stars such as Red Grange to drum up publicity and fans. Professional football teams meandered along until the 1950s, when the emergence of bona fide legends like running back Jim Brown and quarterback Johnny Unitas gave the sport greater traction. But it wasn't until 1960, when 33-year-old Pete Rozelle became NFL commissioner and brought his Hollywood touch to pro football, that the sport exploded into living rooms. Rozelle constructed an athletic and financial powerhouse in the 2 decades before Donald and the United States Football League popped up, and it was Rozelle whom Donald, the football novice, targeted. In September 1983, Donald agreed to buy the New Jersey Generals, one of the USFL's nascent franchises, from Oklahoma oilman J. Walter Duncan. 2 months later, Donald threw down the gauntlet. "It's definitely war between us and the NFL," he announced. But Rozelle didn't seem troubled by Donald's battle cry. "I've seen 4 of these wars now," said Rozelle in a subsequent press conference. "You go back to the All-American Conference in the 40s, we had the American Football League for 6 years until we announced a merger, the World Football League, and now this." The USFL's founders started their league in 1982 on the premise that shoestring salaries and budgets could muster enough athleticism and television ad revenue to offer football fans games during the spring and summer, when NFL teams weren't playing. "Nurse the baby league's 12 teams along," the idea went, and eventually they would gather enough steam to either offer a permanent challenge to NFL primacy or merit absorption.